getting googly.
Janeway, Fox, Spear, Locker's acting very weird. Captain Pike, Sisko's wife, Klingons and the afterlife. Boimler, Tendy's dog, Ransom is very hard. Spore Drive, Black Alert, Giorgio has gone berserk. Teacher, bad left, Edward is an idiot. Spock is dead, Worf is wed, Chekhov's wearing red. Data's cat, Kempak's sat, Q has had enough of that. Beam me up, make it so, everybody let's go.
We talk about the series. You can join us live by picking up your phone now. We talk about the series. We're coming to you on your streaming services now. We talk about the series. Well, good evening, Trekkies and Trekkers around the globe. It is Thursday, January 18th, 2024. It is 7:30 p.m. Eastern Coast Time. Welcome to episode 571 of Trek Talking. At least I think it's episode 571. We had a little patch where we had to cancel some shows due to technical difficulties, and I'm not sure if those shows were counted, even though they were canceled. But by my estimates, it's around episode 571. So I apologize if it's not exactly perfect, but that would be why. I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, with you. And before we go too far, I want to let you guys know that we have a copy of Patrick Stewart's memoir, Making It So. And we want to give it to you. But obviously, you have to do something to win it, right? So all you have to do is head over to trektalking.com, and in the bottom right-hand corner, you will see a little round blue talkback mic. Just click on that. You have 2 minutes to leave us a message, be creative, be persuasive, and tell us why you deserve to win the copy of that book. On our Book Nook episode on the 29th, we're going to be reviewing that book, and we're going to be picking the winner. So you want to get that in, well, sooner the better. In fact, do it right now. Why are you waiting? TrekTalking.com, blue talkback mic, simple, easy, and you can win a copy of Patrick Stewart's memoir, Making It So. Before we go any further, though, I want to introduce to you my awesome Trekspurts, and we'll start off with Charles. Charles is out in Las Vegas. How you doing tonight, Charles?
I'm doing good. I think the weather's finally getting back to the low 60s where it belongs and not having 30s in the morning, hopefully.
Well, I would kill for some 30s. I'd be outside in my shorts and T-shirts if it would hit 30. It is so cold. It's just bitter, bitter cold here. Wind chill just goes right through your coat, right through your gloves, right through your hat. It's just awful. Awful, 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 but we'll get through it. We will get through it. We will persevere. It's Vermont. We're Vermont strong. That's what you get up here. But my poor camper, I just can't wait to get up to camp. And we're going to swing out to Portland where I have my trifecta, my triple play out there, my hat trick. And we'll start off with Eric.
Your
How
frozen
you tonight,
trio.
Eric? The frozen trio, yep.
Yeah, we're definitely a frozen trio out here, man. It's been a little bit crazy. I feel a little bit like Jack Torrance at the end of The Shining, like frozen in place, just staring because I am coated in ice. Everything is coated in ice around here, and the cabin fever is setting in. So if I'm a little silly tonight, that's probably why.
Well, that's okay. We're going to be truck talking, so we'll have something to do. And also in Portland, we have the donut guy, David, but he forgot the donuts. So tonight he's the cookie guy. How you doing, David?
Cookie monster.
Cookie monster.
Yeah, it's really cold out. I think I even see a frozen squirrel in the tree somewhere. But yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I got ice cold coming off of everything.
I was trying to play Starfleet Command 3. And believe it or not, the Packlids overran the Klingon Empire. They kicked my ass. Packlids.
I mean, Star Trek Armada 3.
Armada 3. Can you believe that? A bunch of Packlids. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're
packing a bunch of lead.
Anyways, I'm going to have to go back, reboot it, and try it again. And we also Portland, our very own Toy Guy Paul. How you doing tonight, Paul?
Hey, man. Greetings from Ice Station Zebra. It's just freaking nuts out here, as the other guys were saying. Yeah, it's getting kind of old, but, you know, I believe me, I have nothing to complain about because we've been lucky enough to be able to have power the entire time. There's been people I know who had no power for, like, over 4 days. Right, and some of the more outlying areas and stuff, and there's been people, you know, lost their lives in this thing, as crazy as it sounds, but they really have. It's just been absolutely nuts. So, yeah, it,
wow.
We're hoping it gets a little bit warmer, but it's just, it really throws a wrench in things, because, you know, if you've got your kids home from school, your whole work dynamic changes and everything changes, and it's just kind of like, all right, kind of done. Mother Nature, so yeah, snow I can handle. Snow is great, but after a day or two of this, it's you got to be done.
Well, I've got some news for you then. You're going to love it. Everybody that's listening, and particularly you, Paul, I have been in contact with Frank from Miko. They produce the 8-inch, 6-inch, the larger figures. Are they 8-inch? I think they're 8, right?
You're talking what's the company again?
Mego.
Oh, Mego. I misunderstood
Mego. Yeah,
what
Mego.
You said. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're right.
If well, you know, I would have
what
to look that up. They're either
ones?
7 or 8 inches size. I'm pretty sure they're 8-inch because they're a little bit bigger format figure. If they're the ones I'm thinking of, like you're talking about, like their current Star Trek line, right?
Yeah
they're kind of like a retro style. Yeah, they're bigger even than, like, NECA figures. They're 8-inch, yeah, for sure.
So I've been in contact with them, and they're going to be coming out with an Andorian and also a Talosian. And they're going to be on the podcast, and we're going to have those to give away to our lucky listeners.
When are they coming on? Do we know what day yet?
I just got an email from him before the show. And they are available on any Thursday, they said. So I emailed them back, and I said, will you tell me what Thursday works for you, and we will make it happen. So it's going to be soon. I don't want to give you guys...
Midnight, back. Thursday,
it's
next week.
It's going to be soon. And all you need to do is let your fingers do the walking and call Trek Talking at 646-668-2433, and you can tell Frank what figures you'd like to see them make. Or make a comment about the Michael Burnham figures or the Saru figures or Q or any of the other ones that are already out there. And then you will get one in the mail absolutely free. How much easier could it be than that?
It's pretty cool. You know, Mego's really interesting because they've done some stuff with their Star Trek license that nobody else has done. As far as I know, they are the only toy company that has ever done a original series Salt Vampire figure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they have the distinction of being the only ones to have ever produced that character's likeness that I've ever seen. That's
I
worth acknowledging. Exactly, I want Salt too. So they have an interesting niche for themselves in the toy collecting area. There, they have a lot of good stuff. So it'll be super curious to talk with what's it, Frank? Is it the gentleman's name?
Frank.
Yeah, it'll be great
guy.
To talk to Frank and hear what's going on and. Because, you know, this is an interesting time for Trek, so I'll be curious as hell to hear what they got planned. So very cool, man. Another good get.
It might be next Thursday. It might be the following Thursday, but it's going to be soon. We can rework the Majel Madness show yet again if we need to.
Well, it's good to be flexible. You know, you got to be nimble, right, when you're having a show like this. But that's great.
So,
it'd be lovely to chat with the guy and find out more. So another you've been getting so many great guests, Jim. I don't know that you're going to make it hard to top yourself at this rate.
And let's not forget that we're going to have Robin Curtis and Vaj Potenza are going to be on talking with us about Star Trek III as well. So that's Tuesday, I do believe, right? I think it's Tuesday. Well, I don't have my notes in front of me, but I think it's Tuesday. They're going to be on with us. So we got a lot of stuff going on for you guys. And just remember, I'm going to say this 1,000 times, but if you can't get through to us on the show, if you want to win an Andorian or a Salt Vampire or whatever figures Frank is gracious enough to give to us, and you're in Australia like that one dude, or you're in Japan or Beijing or wherever you happen to be, and you can't listen to us live right now, Thursday night, that's okay, because you can always go to trektalkin.com, click on the blue talk back mic in the bottom right-hand corner, and leave us a message. So we don't want to cut anybody out of winning these awesome figures. So you can always do go to our trektalkin.com and leave us a message. So that's pretty much all my news that is fit for print right now. We have 133,416 downloads of our podcast and 208,890 followers on our Facebook page. And if you guys missed it, we had an awesome show Thursday night with Elizabeth Dennehy, a.k.a. LB. It was a blast and a half. And if you missed it, go right to our Facebook page, and I have it pinned right to the top. Click on it and give it a listen, because it was a lot of fun to talk with Elizabeth Dennehy. So check that out if you missed it. Did you guys have a good time talking with Elizabeth?
She was the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
dynamite guest. She was really super smart, and you know, she's from like a showbiz family, right? Given her father and everything, I mean, so she's got so many amazing things to talk about. I mean, just knows the business backwards and forwards, and she's played an iconic Star Trek character. You know, it doesn't get much better than that. She's just really funny, and a massive Shakespeare fan. So it was just like gold, brother. I mean, a lovely, lovely guest. I really hope that they do, take advantage of the fact that she's a smart whip, man. Get her on more shows like they did with Picard here. Don't kill her off. You know, that's a mistake. You know,
well,
make sure that she comes back.
If we don't see a body, she's not dead, right?
Oh, hey, you can even bring people back from the dead. Come on, you can. Whatever.
That's right. Multiple times.
Dead. We can just genesis her back to life.
But she was a lovely, lovely guest, man. It was a real treat. So good times.
Check that out if you guys didn't get a chance to. Before we've got some callers on the line here. So before we take some calls, before we get to our fan shout-outs, which are also right around the corner, I should tell you guys what we're going to talk about tonight. A topic that's near and dear to my heart, something that I truly enjoy, and we're just going to have some fun with this one tonight. And it's completely subjective, and that's cool. But tonight, we're going to talk about the Romulans. And it's going to be a blast.
I thought it was a great tribal hunt.
We're going to be talking about the Klingons. That's right. I have a list that was compiled by Screen Rant of what they consider to be the 10 best Klingon episodes / stories. And a couple that I thought should be on the list and whatnot. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to have a lot of fun with the Klingon. So if you're a Klingon fan, you definitely want to hang around for the next couple of minutes. But before we get too far, let's go to the phone lines and talk to some real Star Trek fans. What do you guys say?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if I can get my thing to work. Good evening. Thank you for calling Trek Talk. What's your name and where are you calling us from tonight? Hello? Caller?
Are they on mute?
Hello, caller. You reached Trek Talking, the most incredible podcast in all of the galaxy. You're live on the air right now. Caller. All right. You give them 20 seconds, they're done, man. You miss your window, boom, hang on to the next one.
All right. So that was one caller. Let's go to our second caller. If I can get this. You know, this thing doesn't work sometimes. Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Trek Talk. And what's your name or where are you calling us from tonight?
Kablamo, it is Ray. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, Ray.
Yo,
my brothers, Happy New Year. Happy 2024, my brothers.
Woo!
We made it.
Yo, I tried to call guys last week. What happened was I couldn't get through because he had a tenant Shelby on air. And I was listening to the whole show last Thursday, and that was interesting. It was very interesting.
Awesome. Glad you enjoyed it, man. It was super fun to talk to her live. It's too bad we didn't get a chance to get you on the air with her, because she was just a joy to talk to every single person in every single way. Yeah, glad you enjoyed it.
She was fun.
So, guys, so guys, if you have a few minutes, okay, let me tell you what I've been doing for the past 2 weeks. Uncle Jim, I finally got Star Trek, Strange New World Season 2, and Mad Season 2 was awesome.
Glad you liked it.
One thing that broke me out was, I got a couple episodes late. And one of them was the episode where they were all singing. I had to watch the episode twice. Yo, that was so funny. Me and Eva, right, we sat down, Eva, I got to watch it again. Because that part, they all were singing during that class. I was like, wait a minute. I thought it was going to be a joke. But I didn't know it was going to be the whole entire episode. And I turned around. I was like, yo, I done watched that joint like 2 times. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I finally got the DVD. I finally bought it at Best Buy while I live in Fordham. I finally got it. I got $34. I bought it, right? I bought like last 2 weeks ago. So I was, I say, you know, since I'm on Christmas break from school, I sat down and watched the whole, and like I said, this whole second season is off the table. You know what it is, though? I love cliffhangers. But I'm not going to spoil it, but I did not realize they put my man on here the last episode with the Gorn. Like I said, I'm not doing no spoiler alert. I'm just saying, I am surprised they brought my man, and we aren't you, and another episode I love with Lower Decks. When they went back at Lower Decks, doing that on the altar, if you still want some of the Lower Decks DVD, you still want some of that. Now I'm on watching it, it is mad funny.
So, Ray, what did you think about the singing Klingons? Did you like the singing Klingons?
Yes.
I loved it.
The K-pop Klingons.
Ray, your friend, Uncle Jim, went into that singing episode saying, I'm going to hate this episode. Watch it, turn it around, and loved it.
It was great.
I think I got Paramount here in my house. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not mine. It's hers. You know what I'm saying? It's hers. So I tried to watch it the other day, right? And naturally, and the part here about everybody kept calling me. I said, yo, I had to turn my phone off to watch it. We watch it one more time. But I said, well, I hate when people like call me at the wrong time. I said, guys, keep calling me about like 10, 11, 11, 9. Right now, I'm dozing right now. They keep calling me. Yo, my God. I said, let me turn all my phones off. The same thing I did when I watched the second season of Strange New Worlds. And you know what I'm saying? And the only put it over I turned on because it's my mind. You know what I'm saying? You just get my mind. Even needed some. You know what I'm saying? It's not a problem. But the whole second season, oh my god, it is very excellent. I am not. And I think the episode with Kirk and what's his name went back in time. And most of them, you know, they found Khan was a little kid. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute now. I see they tell a little bit more now about Khan a little bit more during the Genetic Wars.
Yep. Expanding the canon.
The one thing I booked it was when Captain Kirk tried to drive that Dodge Charger. I was like, wait a minute. Does this remind you of an episode of Piece of Action when Kirk tried to drive that a 38 roaster? Was it the Piece of Action?
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, I'm telling you, the Nebraska now, okay, it is hot. It's warm. It's warm out here. It's bad warm out here.
Wow. I'm telling you.
I know it's weird. I'm on my Mercury right now this week because we had that storm, right? The other day, right? Everything's so icy. I already told my doctor, guys, I'm not coming back until Monday. I'm not gonna, you know what I'm saying, because of my condition. I'm not gonna walk outside and, like, you know, all the ice and stuff. Come on. I mean, seriously. But anyway, but anyway, make a long story short. You talking about you getting away with Star Trek figures for free? You guys were talking about with Frank? I mean,
yep.
Is the figure you talking about earlier? But...
Yep.
Okay, what kind of figures did they give? What kind of figures? I heard some about Wolfing them. I mean, what do you do? I mean, what do he make the figures like that, or he's like?
Well, I'm not. At this point, Ray, I don't know what figures. The email he said is, he says, yeah, we can give some figures away. The newest figures they're coming out with right now are the Andorian from Balance of Terror. No, Journey to Battle. Those are the two
ones. Okay, I'm going to ask a question. I know this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to ask a question anyway. If Mr. Frank had the, I was talking the other day about this. Actually, two questions. I talked the other day about this. One, do you have the thing where Captain Kirk wearing the green shirt uniform? You know what I'm saying, for the original one?
Yep.
They do
have a figure of him wearing that.
Yeah, but look. I saw it on eBay last night. I want to go to the contest and see. I'm going to go to the contest. I really want to, because you know what? I don't have that in my collection. And is it possible? If it's possible, I try to get on and try to get it. Is it possible?
If Frank has, like I said, Ray, I don't know what figures. He didn't specify what ones he was going to have to give away. But that character is one of them, because I've seen that. But it might be Captain Pike from Strange New Worlds. That's a new one.
I'm afraid. It could be Captain Pike, too. I don't mind.
Yeah, they've got like 5 or 6 new figures that are releasing, and I don't know which of them, or if any of them, he's going to be gracious enough to give us. But when I schedule them to be on the show, I will definitely let everybody know, and then you're welcome to win them. Absolutely, Ray.
No problem. And one more question before I go, right? Do you have Heroes and Icon, Heroes and Icon down there in Vermont? The cable show called Heroes and Icons?
Yep, we
down
do.
There? Okay. Now, I watched Deep Space Nine last night. I watched one of these with the first season, when the episode when the spaces was still control with the Kardashians. What happened? They erased all the memories. They got them trapped, right? And then last time I was sitting there thinking about this, and I was thinking to myself, where are they going to show? I know it's going to sound crazy. Where are they going to show the beginning of Section 31? I don't know why last night I was sitting watching it, just popped my head. I said, so we went from Patty Prepared and all that. I want to see at least one episode about Section 31. I don't know why I watched it last night. It just came up.
Well, Michelle Yeoh is going to be starring in a Section 31 made for TV movie. They've started filming, which we're going to be seeing soon. We don't have a date yet because the strike put everything behind schedule. But Michelle Yeoh is currently filming a Section 31 movie, which will be on Paramount Plus at some point. So that's cool.
Paramount Plus. I said I just started this last time, right? And then it just popped in my head about that. It just came up from nowhere. I said, "Man, Section 31, say, damn, they never, like, we all got secrets. You know what I'm saying? We all got secrets, right? But I mean, and there's one thing that's bothering me is, how is Section 31 begin? Section 31 is like, kind of like James Bond. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know who I am, and you don't want to know who I am.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Ray, I'm so glad that you were able to get your hands on season 2, and I think it's great that you like Subspace Rhapsody and those old scientists, because those were two of our favorite episodes when we reviewed them. And one of these days we'll do a singing episode of Trek Talking. I'm telling you, we're going to do it.
Wait a minute, Uncle Jim. Uncle Jim, you mean tell me you guys going to do a singing with that? You know what? You know what? I can't sing for Jack. But I can't sing for Jack. Uncle Jim, I went to Sousa, and you know, Sousa where I live, but I was in junior high school. I went to Sousa junior high school, right? And it was a music class, right? And then, it, like, you know, alto, sopranos, you know what I'm saying, like that. And then it was like, I did a glee club. I didn't sing Uncle Jim. No, I did. Like, you had the music sheet. I put it right from my face. And, like, I you know what I'm saying? Let us sing. I was, like, lip singing.
That's all right.
But anyway, guys, I hope your guys' family's okay, everything else. You know what I'm saying? 2024, I'll be 51 years old, and I'll keep tat every week from now on. Because like I said, this year is going to be a whole new ball game.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Ray, try to stay warm. Well, it's not cold down there.
Warm.
But, anyway.
Warm.
Try to stay warm.
Uncle Jim, see that again? Warm? Uncle Jim,
yeah.
I was in the store just now and trying to get back here quickly, pop up 7:30, right? I went to the store where I live at in the Bronx, and like, it's melting. It's like, I have my head cold, my head, everything else, right? And then everything is like warm. I'm like, what's going on? I think, you know what? I ain't complaining about it. Let me go to the store. Let me came back. I came about at 7:20 tonight. Grab me a sandwich. Grab me something else. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go walk over. I said no. You know what? I'm gonna leave it alone. But all I know is gonna be enough snow until Friday. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna work tomorrow. It's not a problem. But you know what I'm saying? I just want to say one thing. I appreciate you guys letting me in your world, and I appreciate everything. And I love you guys. I really do.
Well, Ray, we love to hear.
I love you guys.
Thank you so much for calling, and enjoy Strange New World Season 2.
No, I finished it.
Well, and go back and watch it again.
You know what?
All right,
now it's like more. You know what? Nice, like my mom's. My mom's is sitting a little while. From well, Ray. Watch it again. Wait a minute. Where did I go? I got something on my phone today, right? Remember John Wick? They make a part 5 next year.
Wow.
And I saw part 4 the other day. He was dead. I saw a trailer the other day. It's coming out to the 25. I was like, wait a minute. This ain't the Matrix. What's going on?
Maybe it is. All right, Ray. Well, we got to get on with the rest of our show. So thank you so much for calling.
Go ahead, guys. I'm gonna stay on tonight and listen to all you. I'm gonna stay on.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ray. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Have a good one.
Anytime.
All right.
You too.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, guys. That was Ray down in the Bronx, and we have another caller. Wow.
Woo-hoo.
Hey, let me see. You know, sometimes this thing is finicky. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling Trek Talk. And what's your name and where are you calling us from tonight? Hello? Is it me? Am I scaring these people away? Am I saying something wrong? Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
David,
yes.
Paul, can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Let's carry on.
That's odd. That's the second caller that didn't come through. All right. Well, okay.
Maybe they're just here to listen.
That could be. Maybe they're just listening. That's fine. Fine. All right, guys.
Anyhow.
So, you can head over to our Facebook page. And over on our Facebook page, pinned to the top, you will see a post saying, hey, dudes, where are you listening from? And all you got to do is go there and tell us where you're listening from. Emojis catch my attention. And then every week I turn around and I pick out 20 lucky listeners, and your name is read out on a fan shout-out to be immortalized as a Star Trek fan forever. So So, Eric, do you want to get us started with this week's fan shout-outs?
Absolutely. Our very first fan shout-out goes out to top fan Amelia Shepherd, who is saying hello to us this week from the Isle of Wight in England. That's right. Just across the pond, we're saying hello to Amelia. And we have lots and lots of supporters in your area, and we are so happy that you are one of them. Perhaps you're part of a Star Trek club, or maybe you just like the podcast, or maybe you just like Jim's memes. Either way, you're a top fan, and you interact with us a lot on our Facebook page, and we appreciate that. Thank you so much, Amelia, for being here. We're also saying hello this week to Arl King, who's saying hello to us from South Africa, just down there at the tip of the continent. Arl, thank you very much for supporting our podcast way down in the other hemisphere. Andrea Gooding is saying hello to us this week from Barbados. And no kidding, folks, she has provided six flags, six emoji flags, which I'm very positive is what caught Jim's attention. And it's a good thing because we like to keep track of countries that we have heard from in the past. And yes, Andrea Gooding, you are our very first fan to say hello to us from Barbados. So thank you so much for being the very first. You are the 76th country that has said hello to us specifically on this podcast. Thank you so much for supporting us. And that looks like quite the area, man. Woo! Easternmost of those Caribbean islands looks really beautiful. Thank you so much for saying hello. And last on my list, saying hello this week to Alex Kaziolas from Thessaloniki in Greece. Alex, thank you very much for supporting our podcast from an area that I'm going to be, not Thessaloniki, but we're going to be round about the Athens direction around March of next year, which I'm very excited about. So,
very nice.
Yeah. Alex, thank you very much for saying hello. And Charles, I'm going to pass this megaphone to you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Let's start off with top fan, Heidi Devante from Southern Illinois. Welcome, Heidi. Glad to see you a top fan. Also glad to see Angie D. Thrash is also a top fan. Hailing from Wichita, Kansas. Two top fans. Glad to see you on our list. Welcome, Richard Tycombe from Virginia. I have family in Virginia, up in northern part. And also welcome, Lee Katz from Central Illinois. My time in Illinois was what they called Great Mistakes. Okay, Great Lakes. David, who's on your list?
Yeah, I got a couple of top fans. Let me say welcome and thank you, top fan Lincoln William Statler from Philadelphia, USA. And next one on my list is Dana Hartel Duffy from Morrison, Colorado. I have another top fan here. Welcome to Rita Hernandez. I think that's how you pronounce it. Sorry for
Hernandez.
Hernandez, there you go. Thank you, Paul. From somewhere in Michigan, somewhere. Okay, I don't know what city that is, but it's not really listing a city, just somewhere in Michigan. Okay. Last one on my list is James Cannon from Kansas City, Kansas. All right, Paul, who's on your list?
Thanks, Donut Brother. I appreciate it, man, very much. Okay, let's go international. Let's leave the Midwest behind and cruise on over to Italy, where everything is awesome all the time. And it is our good friend Andre Atreides of House Atreides, no doubt. And the only Atreides I acknowledge. And I guess you've got so much money when you are part of House Atreides that you can actually live in Italy, which is great,
yeah.
Andre. So that must mean, of course, that when Eric and the rest of us come calling, you'll have extra rooms that you can put us up, because that's mm-hmm. how we treat ourselves, right, in Star Trek universe. But Andre's got all kinds of happiness radiating from the post, live long and prosper enthusiasm. Wonderful to hear from you. In all seriousness, Italy is like top of the mark, a wonderful place to hang your hat. So I hope things are treating you well. Not too far away over in Croatia, we're saying hello to our friend Barbara Simcic who is also very happy with a big smiling face and some heart emojis there. So everyone's following Uncle Jim's advice to make it visual to capture his attention. So that's a good thing to do. Right, Barbara? I hope you're doing well. I know Croatia can get some pretty intense winters. I feel like we are having a Croatian winter here in the Northwest ourselves this week. It can just about ready to be done. I enjoy winter, but I don't like being stuck inside. And another place where you can have extreme wintry conditions is up north to our good friend Sharon Diane Hertz, sending us hailing frequencies from up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, all the way up there in Canadian's provinces with the flag proudly displayed. So a very cool place to reside, Sharon Diane Hertz. And then finally from me, we've said hello to our, oh, I love alliteration with names. It's like one of my favorite things. And we've got a word here from Sean Samet, who says hello to us from Belfast, Ireland. A wonderful place as well. So we've got all kinds of folks who are international fans. Got to give you hope for the future, right? To be able to know that, like, Star Trek is the uniting force and that the people respond to that positivity across the entire globe. So that kind of, in a time when it often seems like we are very divided, that unification that Star Trek manages to do globally, it gives me cause not to despair. Wouldn't you say, Uncle Jim?
I would agree, absolutely. And I should mention to you guys, you hear a lot of top fan names being thrown around, and it's very easy to become a top fan. Just go to our Facebook page and react. I put up memes all day. I post all kinds of stuff. All you need to do is go to our Facebook page and interact. Give us your opinion on an episode. I put up a lot of episode questions. And you can earn a top fan badge so that when your name gets called out, you'll be a top fan. I don't have any top fans on my list, unfortunately, this week. But I do want to say kapla to Ann Stevens, who's listening to us in Long Island, New York, in the U.S. of A. Long Island or Long Island? I think it's Long Island. I hear a lot of people say Long, but I don't think that's how
it is. Just say the island, man. Don't people just say the island? Yeah. Who knows? They don't even say Long. They just say I'm out on the island. There you go. Which shore are you on? North Shore or South Shore? Which way do you live there? You
know, the short shore.
Yeah. North Shore, whatever, you know? Manhasset?
Yeah.
Where you at?
And we also want to say a lot of Martin McCarthy, who's listening in the Bronx. I wonder if Martin and Ray have ever crossed paths. I don't know. But a couple of to Martin McCarthy in the Bronx. We also want to say hello and thank you to Kent Hattonfield, who's listening in Belleville, New Jersey, USA, with a flag flying right there, which caught my eye. And last but definitely not least, we want to say hello to Teresa Taylor, who's in Memphis, Tennessee, down around where Andy Bray is down there in Tennessee. And that, my friends, finishes up our fan shout-outs. Head over to our Facebook page and tell us where you're listening from, and you too can be a fan shout-out. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up the preliminaries. Now we're going to get down to the meat and potatoes of the show. We're going to talk about some Klingons. We're going to have fun with some Klingon episodes. The first thing we want to do is...
I don't know who the hell you are. I am Worf, son of Moog, House of Martok, son of Sergei, House of Roshenko, bane to the Duras family, slayer of Gowron. I have made some chamomile tea. Do you take sugar?
Yes.
Okay, I lost it. So we're going to be talking about Klingons tonight, and I played that clip because the reason why I'm here, why I'm so involved in Star Trek, is because of Mr. Worf. When TNG came out, I had all my friends over. We sat down. We had a pizza. We put on TNG, and what did I see? A Klingon on the bridge of the Enterprise. And right away, I was like, I've got to find out everything I can about this Klingon. What are they doing there? How did they end up there? They're the enemies of the Federation. This is going to be good. and I was hooked. I joined the Michael Dorn Appreciation Organization fan club. I joined the Klingon Assault Group. I even cosplay as a Klingon, which I still do to this day. And that, my friends, is why I'm such a huge Star Trek fan, all because of Michael Dorn being on TNG. So anytime I get an opportunity to talk about Klingons, obviously I'm going to do it. And because we don't have any new Star Trek episodes to talk about, you know, we've had a lot of guest stars, Elizabeth Dennehy last week, if you guys missed it. And we're going to be doing Major Mania next week. We talked about Captain Pike, and I decided let's talk about some Klingons. So here we go. Star Trek's 10 Best Klingon Stories. This particular article comes from Screen Rant, and this was like a holdover article, and I decided it's time to talk about it. So this is their list. Klingons have been a key part of Star Trek universe. Despite undergoing numerous changes in both physical design and personality, the Klingons remain one of the franchise's most iconic contributions to the pop culture canon. Although these world-building inconsistencies might aggravate fans, it is due to them that the Klingons have endured. So, yes, the Klingons have changed. They went from people wearing shoe polish with handlebar mustaches, and then they ended up with little spines on their foreheads in Star Trek The Motion Picture. Then we ended up with the turtle heads that we see Worf wearing, and then we ended up going all the way back to the beginning in Discovery with the full-on Klingon dual nostrils, dual everything. So yes, the Klingons have changed quite a bit, but they are still Klingons, have no doubt. So this list is completely objective, guys. I didn't pick it, but a lot of the episodes on here, I agree, belong on this list. So we're going to start off with Screen Rant's number 10 episode about Klingons. It's from Lower Decks, and it's an episode called Weej Duj, which means second ship in Klingon. And I got to agree, this episode was really fun. This episode shows the lives of so-called Lower Deckers aboard the Star Trek universe. In part, the episode depicts a Klingon power structure for the bird of prey, IKS Cheetah. It's rare for the franchise to consider an alien species through a non-Federation lens. As much, Weej Duj provides an unfiltered look at key aspects of Klingon culture. And as David was so keen to point out, even the Klingons have an owl guy. this episode was a lot of fun, actually. And if you're not deep into your Klingon lore, the captain of this particular Klingon ship, we've seen him before. And it was nice to see them bring him back. Although now he's a full-fledged Klingon. Last time we saw him, he was a conflicted Klingon. So Weej Duj, I think, is a really good episode if you want to get some understanding on the Klingons. It's a lot of fun. Lower Decks throws in a lot of Easter eggs, and there's plenty in this episode, but we're just talking about the Klingons. So what did you guys think about the Klingon depiction in Weej Duj on Lower Decks? First of all, I liked the Klingon animation. I think they look really good.
The animation looks really good, and it's fun. One of the things that I think Lower Decks does really well is it takes things that are kind of serious in most Star Trek and it makes them fun. So even to have animated Klingons and situations that either have slapstick qualities or little side jokes or little inside jokes or that kind of stuff, it's a fresh way of looking at Star Trek. And I don't think that we have had, I mean, Lower Decks does it on a regular basis, but like this is the first time that I think we see somebody dipping their toe into the Klingons with regards to that.
It was very well done. And what did they say in this episode? Don't give me that Vulcan live long and prosper, live short and die horrible.
Sarcastic Vulcan salute. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So Weej Duj, Star Trek Lower Decks. Paul, what does Screen Rant put at number 9?
At number nine, we actually have a bit of a surprise. We're actually switching over to another arm of the franchise, and we are going over to Enterprise, and we are going to be talking about Affliction and Divergence. And according to Screen Rant, given that it's not uncommon for Star Trek to rework its own aliens, it's up for debate whether viewers needed an explanation as to why the original Klingons had smoother heads than in later depictions. And I think I really think that the I don't think I'm making any kind of a crazy statement here, but I really think that I feel like the Trek Talkin's Enterprise resident expert is Eric. So I would love to have Eric's thoughts on Affliction and Divergence.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. So my thoughts are this: every single time we get a new iteration of Star Trek, we get opportunities to kind of move the ball forward or move the ball in a different direction, whether that's like what we're going to talk about or whether it's the way the aliens look or whether it's, you know, if Klingons are allies or enemies or all, any of that kind of stuff. And I like that kind of movement through Star Trek, because to me, if you keep watching the same thing over and over again, it gets kind of boring. And Affliction Divergence, I am totally on board with folks who say, you know, we didn't need an explanation because Worf, especially in that Tribbles episode, says, you know, we don't talk about it. I was happy with that answer.
That's
a perfectly fine explanation. I don't disparage, you know, the folks who just want to kind of like leave it there. But the way that Enterprise did it wasn't like out of line with canonical stuff. And I think it kind of, not that I'm a canon hound, but to me it added interest to that story, and it added a potential scientific explanation for something that, you know, anybody who's watched the old series and then watched the new series has to find a way to resolve that in their head, whether they like it or not. I think Paul and I would say it doesn't matter at all. Like, I don't care what the makeup looks like as long as the writing is good. But I will say that it can also pull you out of the suspension of disbelief when the character doesn't look the way that you expect. So to me, I like these episodes, and I understand that that may not be the most popular opinion out there, but like Enterprise, I think, does in so many episodes, it takes a risk, and, you know, does it stick the landing at a 10 when it takes a risk? Often not, but it often sticks that landing at like a 7.5 or an 8, and I would put this series of episodes right around that range for me.
Well, I think what it does do, though, inadvertently, is that that particular block of episodes explains every iteration of Klingon we've ever seen is explained away in that one episode, because we don't know how the virus affected all the other, you know, we know from Discovery what Klingons looked like, you know, back then.
Well, especially now, when you add Discovery lore and like actually seeing the 24 different houses and how they were all different anyway. Yeah.
Right. But now we know that, and that they all look different, and we don't know how the virus affected them. So there you go. Case solved.
There you
close
go.
The book.
Boom.
They're all Klingons. Move on. Done. But I enjoyed the episode myself, and Section 31 is in this episode as well. So they're going to stick their nose into everything. So, Eric, what did Screen Rant place at number 8?
Ooh, we get to head over to one of our favorite little hidden gems, the animated series, and talk about the episode The Time Trap. In order to cross the time barrier, Kirk and the Klingons must work together. It's a tried and tested Star Trek formula, although the Alliance is undermined by the Klingons' standard treachery. The aliens plan to destroy the Enterprise after it helps them escape. So much for honor. The Time Trap is the Klingons at their most devious. Ooh, I love that they threw in some animated series here, and I love that they threw in this particular episode, and Jim is, I think, the group's resident Klingon expert. I'd love to hear from you first on this one as to what you thought about the portrayal of the Klingons. And are they really, can you resolve for us the balance between honor and treachery?
Well, we have to bear in mind that Klingons, a lot of people look at Klingons from TNG. But unfortunately, Klingons on TOS and TAS, the honor thing hadn't really been introduced really yet. That wasn't until Worf came along. Original Klingons were like...
they were supposed to be like pirates, right?
They were...
Like pirate Russians.
So they were... It was a completely different way of thinking. Now, I'm not saying that Duras wouldn't stab you in the back of the Duras sisters in a heartbeat, but... but Klingons as we know them today are the honor thing. But back then, not quite so much. So the fact that they were planning to blow up the Enterprise and they were backstabbing, it's completely fine with what Klingons were like back at that time. But I do want to point out that we see a Gorn in this episode as well. Do you guys remember the Council of the Time Leaders? Or whatever they call them.
Yeah, one we see them. And don't we see like a Kazinti in this one too, don't we, if I remember
right? And an Orion. We see an Orion. We see all kinds of
them.
Yeah, they're all unified around the Table of Time. Well, I'm calling it that because I don't remember what they actually called it. But they were all on this council, and all of them were there, Andorians and Gorn, all of them. And the Klingons.
Tellarites, if I remember, that you can see there. And really interesting thing about this particular episode, too, as far as the Klingons go, right, is because we've got a Klingon character who originally had on the original series. We've got Kor, right? It was like the very first Klingon we ever met back in Errand of Mercy, right? But John Colicos, the actor who voiced Kor, was not available when they were doing the production of this episode. So our very own James Doohan is the man who did the voiceover doing the Kor character. So really interesting.
He did that for, I'll just say, we'll probably mention this during Remembrances, but he also did that for one of the other Klingons, I believe, Korax, if I remember right from the
animated series.
Yeah, I think
there's a bunch of James doing voiceovers. Yeah. You can really recognize him. He's just like, I'll do it. It's kind of like...
Wasn't he the original creator of the Klingon language?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
I don't know, because they always just had him speak English on the show, so who knows, but it's just interesting stuff, but good stuff. Always, if you've never checked out the animated series, always like to recommend it, because it's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, that was a fun episode, and it's only 18 minutes. You can spare 18 minutes out of your life to check it out.
You could watch it twice during the first part of this episode.
It's
not going to take a whole lot of time out of your hand.
It's amazing they got 12 minutes of commercials into 30 minutes. That's just like,
I know.
Hey, man, I remember Saturday morning cartoons. They were trying to sell us everything under the planet, everything Mattel made, every brand of cereal. They needed those 12 minutes.
And it really wasn't a time trap to watch
it. Worked,
though.
Yeah.
So, Charles, you want to tell us what Screen Rant has listed at number 7?
Okay, number 7 is Errant of Mercy from the original series.
Boot!
Organians hold godlike powers, and they force the Klingons and the Federation to end their conflict. The Organians even predict the Federation and Klingon will one day be friends, foreshadowing the Kitamar Accords.
Yes.
I pass this one over to Paul, because I think Paul really wants to get onto this one.
What do you think,
Paul?
Thanks, Charles. I just think it's really nice to have an unabashed classic episode, an iconic episode on this list, because I completely agree. I would put this much higher than number 7 for my own list, but Jim said, it's kind of subjective, right? But this is the very first episode in season 1 that really introduced what the Klingons were, right? And they're done in kind of dastardly fashion. It's a little unfortunate in terms of like the tropes of the era. They're portrayed as having dark skin and kind of Fu Manchu mustaches, right? And they can be very, culturally inappropriate when you look at it from a modern lens, right? And it could have been really a disaster in terms of the way they were, you know, portrayed. Kind of, yeah, a little bit like pirates, right? But what elevated it above everything was the portrayal of John Colicos as Kor. We'd never seen a Klingon before, and this is a man who was a tremendous actor, and he came in and he was willing to play the bad guy, but not in like a mustache twirling cliche way, right? This is a guy who thinks he's the hero, who thinks he's the main character of this, and his job as a military leader is to squash the opposition, and very realistically done, too. I mean, he chews the scenery a lot, and he's got a weird sneaking admiration for Captain Kirk, yet he loves to toy with his enemies, very much a foreshadow of the way Khan is portrayed down the road, right, in Wrath of Khan in particular. But it's an incredible character. I mean, really, really great, and you got to just hand it to the great John Colicos, because not only is it a super good episode that really, I think, you know, expresses very, very adroitly that whole idea of what Star Trek really, really is that there are powers out there that you just don't understand who we may think we have the high moral ground, but we're down here, you know, scrabbling in the dirt, really, compared to other forms of consciousness that we've yet to meet in the universe, which I thought was just really, really great. It's a great introduction to the Klingons, and I think pretty much every Klingon that came afterwards has to tip their hat to Kor in that performance. And we'd, of course, see Kor down the road in many other appearances throughout Star Trek and other arms of the franchise, too. But an indelible performance, absolutely one of the great episodes of Klingon lore ever. So thrilled to see it listed here.
And I got to throw something in, because we've been talking about For All Mankind, and there's an episode, again, I've binged them all, so they're all jumbled in my head, but there's an episode where somebody, one of the astronauts, gives a speech, and it's the same speech that Kirk gives in this episode, where he says something like, you know, we're not going to kill today, and that whole speech. And on For All Mankind, someone gave that exact same speech, and I turned to my wife and I said, that's from Star Trek, and Captain Kirk said that to Kor. I thought that was great. So there you have it. So Eric, as our resident Voyager fan, what does Screen Rant have for number six? And I gotta, before we go any further though, I have a red asterisk next to this one, because I have to preface it by saying, although I really enjoyed this episode and thought it was really well done and it was a really good episode, this episode would not be on my list of Klingon episodes for the simple fact that this is a character-driven episode and not as much a Klingon episode. So that's why I wouldn't have put it on my list at all. But Eric, you want to take it away?
Yeah, absolutely. And Jim, I'm going to talk about that a little bit here. We're talking about the Voyager episode called Faces, which in some ways is kind of an update to the classic episode The Enemy Within from TOS back in the day. B'Elanna is split into two individuals by a mad scientist, a meek human and an aggressive Klingon. Actress Roxanne Dawson may ham it up as the fully Klingon B'Elanna, but she delivers an excellent performance as her vulnerable human persona. The episode features a look at both Klingon and human physiology, as well as some memorable grisly moments. And the reason that I do think that this episode belongs on the list, Jim, and I'll agree, like from a, you know, Klingon culture perspective, or, you know, what do the Klingons look like in canon? Maybe this episode doesn't deliver on that front, but what it does do is it takes the question of Klingon of a person who has a shared heritage between Klingons and humans, and how does that affect the person's outlook on life? How does it affect the way that they react to things? How does it affect the way that they're seen by others? And, you know, I think that taking that kind of aggressive Klingon persona, which B'Elanna struggles with a lot in Voyager, and separating it from her human half, which I agree, when she portrays her human half, it's almost like you get to see Roxanne Dawson for the first time, you know, in some ways. You're like, oh, maybe this is more what she's like, because I know she's a human, and maybe the actress is more like this person. but and necessarily probably because of the writing in that episode, the Klingon parts are just a little bit hammy, which I think does, you know, knock it down a notch. But it takes a complex question, which I think in today's conversations might be a little bit more common, this idea of a mixed race character and what do they deal with on a daily basis. I feel like, you know, Marvel Comics is dealing with that on a daily basis, and DC is dealing with that on a daily basis, and all these television shows and stuff are now starting to address these sorts of issues. But back in the 90s and 2000s, 2000s with Voyager, early 2000s, I think having B'Elanna, A, be Maquis, B, be half Klingon, C, be the chief engineer, there's a lot of stuff going on in her life, and this episode does a fair job of kind of showing that and splitting it apart and updating that the enemy within concept from the TOS days. That's my thoughts.
Well, number five on their list is one of my favorites, and I definitely would have put this episode on the list. This is the TNG episode, A Matter of Honor. The episode gives viewers a deep dive into Klingon culture, from their stomach-churning cuisine to their sexual politics and command structure. Klingons earn promotions by murdering their superiors. Dun, dun, dun. Riker proves himself by overcoming his initial cultural shock, demonstrating that for all of their cultural differences, the Klingon Empire, the Federation, can find common ground. So, yeah. This episode, this is the one for me.
Yeah.
This is the one where Riker goes on the Klingon bird of prey. He eats
the food, looking them in the eye.
With a couple of Klingon women, and he makes friends with a Klingon officer, gets the crap beat out of him by the Klingon captain, commandeers the ship. This episode has it all. And it's fun. It's great. It gives you a good insight into Klingons, what they eat. Pippius Tongue, Gok, of course.
Also known as gummy worms.
Yeah, all kinds of great stuff. And, of course, we have some hot Klingon ladies in this episode. Not Lursa and Bator are in this episode. And one of them finds Riker tolerable. So it is great. This one is absolutely great, and I agree. This is a must-watch. If you're a Klingon fan, you learn a lot about the Klingons and about Riker in this particular episode. So if you have not seen it, definitely check it out. And we're going to be talking about Tribbles, so that means we've got to go to David. What do they have for number four on our list?
Ooh, thanks, Jim. I thought I was going to get picked for this one. I actually looked up online something interesting I'm going to show after this. But yeah, Trials and Tribulations from a Deep Space Nine episode. Trials and Tribulations. Maybe nostalgic fluff, but it delivers on its promise of honoring Star Trek's past. It also proved that the warrior Klingons are as much at home in a silly caper as they are in the demise political intrigue. So the thing that I was looking up a while ago was an interesting take on how they were able to film an original series, I guess you could say, background for the actual show, the original series episode called Trouble with Tribbles. There you go. Sorry. But yeah, apparently they use a very interesting special effects technology that had recently been popularized by the movie Forrest Gump, which I thought was interesting because, you know, everybody knows that scene where Forrest Gump was shaking hands with the president in that movie. Well, the exact same concept was used in this episode, that they were actually being able to put Sisko, Jadzia, the DS9 crew, basically, into the original series, and that's how they were able to just play it along. And, so this particular episode, they just seamlessly integrated scenes from the Trouble with Tribbles from the original series, thanks to no small part to the story by Ira Stevens Burr and Hans Beimler and Robert Hewitt Wolf, as well as the teleplay by Donald D. Moore and Rain Echeverria. So, to me, this episode actually holds a very dear part in my heart, not only because it had Tribbles, the idea that they went back in time, I'm also a very fun-loving episode person that loved time travel, but the thing is that they were actually able to integrate scenes from the original series into this, which seamlessly just played out like an actual episode, like Kirk, Bach, and everybody was just there, you know? They were just projected on screen, like they were acting alongside with the other actors, and it was, to me, I thought that was really interesting to see when they do stuff like that for different types of series. So I'm a really big fan of this particular episode, but yeah, did anyone else want to add to that?
David, now ask you, do you know why they filmed this episode in that specific system? Why was this episode filmed?
I think we're losing Charles.
We're losing
Charles.
Yeah,
he's really choppy.
Super choppy.
We lost Charles.
Okay, let me try again. I'll try again. Do we know why this episode was filmed in the first place?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, it was for the anniversary of Star Trek.
Oh, the 30th?
Which one?
Yeah, I don't remember which one, but they actually did two of them. They did this
1990-
one, and they did Flashback for Voyager.
1996, it was the 30th anniversary special.
And this particular episode, I have an asterisk on because I wouldn't have put this episode on this list either. That's okay.
They, I mean, when you think of the ones that they left off, and this is here, I mean,
great
it's a,
Klingon
this,
episode.
This is a good
yeah.
episode. It's a really good episode,
yeah.
right? But it's not a Klingon episode by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Moving on.
No, it's not. And I'll take the next one. And I wouldn't have put this one on the list either.
Wait, you wouldn't have? Really?
I wouldn't.
I'm going to fight you on that one.
I'm going to tell you why. Because there are. Well, first of all, it's not an episode technically.
No. Well, it doesn't. It's not. It's, the article was 10 best Klingon stories. So
if, maybe. But there are so many other better ones that, and I have a compiled that I think. You know. So, Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, they have at number 3. Really good movie, great movie, enjoyable movie. Colonel Worf is in it, so there you have that. And Rene Auberginois is in it. We get to learn that Klingon blood is pink.
General Chang.
So the General Chang quoting
the Klingon court.
Lot of great stuff in this movie. So I'm not going to get into it because everyone has seen it. Everybody knows. But that's what they have at number 3, Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. And now that brings us to our top 2. And Paul, do you want to do number 2?
Sure, I can do number 2, man. I can do number 2. I don't know that I'm going to beat it. The greatest advocate for this one myself, because there's a lot of ones I'm hoping we have time to talk about that did not make this list. But number 2 on here is a Deep Space Nine episode, The Way of the Warrior, where we have next-gen characters had crossed over, you know, on Deep Space Nine before, but the addition of Worf to Deep Space Nine's character roster spices up that spinoff of the franchise. Now, Worf's arrival on the frontier outpost Deep Space Nine coincides with a Klingon invasion of Cardassian space that threatens to pull in the entire Federation. Oh, my God. And although they did manage to avert full-scale war, there's a change in the status quo, that basically, you know, that repositioning the Klingons as being more of a serious antagonist, if you will, is less allies. So there's that. I mean, this is kind of, you know, I mean, I like this because if I'm not, help me out, those of you with fresher memories than mine. This is the one, the first where they brought Worf back, right? This is his first appearance on Deep Space Nine. Right. And, you know, it. I love Worf is great. And I do feel that, like, Deep Space Nine is really underappreciated in a lot of quarters. But I do think that a lot of times it kind of felt to me like a slight act of desperation to bring Worf over here and put him as a character on Deep Space Nine. Was it necessary? No, it kind of speaks to the fact that, like, well, we don't really have enough confidence in our core characters here. We need to do something to spice it up, right? It's kind of the same mindset. And a lot of times this stuff works out really well. I mean, it was the same kind of mindset when they were trying to, when they brought Seven of Nine onto Voyager, right? And that was a smart move. Ultimately, but initially it was sort of like, we got to do something to sex stuff up, right? And, you know, fortunately they cast somebody really great in that role there. But I don't know that this is one of the all-time great Klingon episodes ever, and there certainly are a lot better ones on Deep Space Nine, I think, that involve other Klingons beyond Worf. So I think, you know, as much as I love Worf, and he's amazing, and I agree with Jim, I mean, he is the core of the current perception of how Klingons are depicted, I would much rather get into the fertile ground of Worf's character arc throughout the entire run of Next Generation, where, you know, I cannot believe that I'm looking at this list and I'm not seeing Sins of the Fathers on here. That is just sacrilege in my view.
Well, you're getting ahead of You're getting ahead of yourself here.
I know I am, but I just I love Worf, and it just seems like if you're going to really get in there, you know, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but yeah, so a good episode, notable for introducing Worf over here, but by no means a classic Klingon episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with that almost, because you would have to kind of look at, like, did they write the show before they went ahead and said, okay, we're going to get Worf on here? Or was it the opposite direction? Because
no, he came in season four, so.
I know, though. Yeah. I know. But did the writer write out this episode before they knew that Worf was going to come in? Because if that was the opposite direction and they said that, oh, yeah, Worf is going to be coming on to the show no matter what, so they had to write up an episode for him. And I think this episode actually turned out really well, the reason why they brought Worf on to the episode. So to me, I actually think the Way of the Warrior episode was actually really good for story-wise.
Well, it introduces Martok. It brings Gowron onto Deep Space Nine. We get to see the Negvar, the new cruiser, and so on. But and it's a fun episode. Lots of Batliths and stuff, and we see the honor going on where Worf steals the Dokta from Martok's son, brings it back to him, all that kind of stuff. But to Paul's question, and Charles said the exact same thing, there are six episodes, maybe seven, that are not listed on this list from TNG, and I was tempted to put them in there, but I did not put them in there for a specific reason that I'm going to get to when we get to the number one episode, okay? But before we get to the number one episode, there's a couple of honorable mentions that I wanted to add to this list before we get to number one. And the reason why some of those missing episodes aren't in my honorable mention, I will get to as well. I put in here as an honorable mention, I put from Star Trek Discovery, Point of Light. This is the episode where Laurel declares herself mother of the Klingon Empire. This is the one where we find out about the face paint. We find out about the Klingon D7s being built. This is the pivotal episode for me of Discovery that really delves really deep into Klingon culture, how they work, and Laurel's important part in the Klingon Empire. So I had to throw in Discovery's Point of Light, Klingon episode.
Jim, I think it's too bad that this list didn't include any Discovery episodes, given that the first season of Discovery almost exclusively dealt with the Klingons and the conflict with the Klingons and that sort of stuff, particularly in the first half of it. It felt to me, what's going on there?
What is that?
Felt to me like that was a little bit of a miss, because the Klingon canon was updated, like we were talking about before. It was updated once more when Star Trek Discovery came out, and it was updated in such a way, like we've talked about on the show, to be more consistent with, I'm going to use the phrase, but Gene's original vision, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Klingon makeup technology now exists to be able to make them look the way that he originally wanted them to look. And it's too bad that they didn't mention it, because the introduction of all these different houses and their different looks and everything, like we were saying with Affliction and Divergence, is just a continuation of what we've already seen, right? It's right in line.
Yep, there's a lot of great Klingon moments in Discovery Season 1. But this particular episode dealing with the Chancellor and whatnot, I thought was really well done. So I had to mention that. And if we're mentioning Klingon episodes, you cannot have a Klingon list. It's just, you can't do it if you don't have Strange New Worlds Under the Cloak of War. We discussed this for a long time when we were talking about Strange New Worlds. And Under the Cloak of War is a top-notch Klingon episode.
It's a Klingon episode because of the one character in some ways, right? And his, like, connection to things, which I think adds a layer of complexity to Klingon culture. I think people have a tendency to say, oh, all Klingons are warriors. All Klingons are bent on glory. You know, this is the way that Klingons are. And to see another character pretty solidly represented that is outside of that paradigm just fits right into that Star Trek niche where we make sure that everybody's represented, right?
Yeah, this was a really, really, really deep episode dealing with Klingons. And from TNG, Heart of Glory, where the three Klingons come aboard the Enterprise in Season 1 of TNG. To me, one of the strongest Season 1 episodes.
Absolutely.
And in this particular episode, they assume the Klingons are there to be terrorists, and Tasha Yar is there with her security detachment, and this little kid runs into Korax. He picks up the child and hands the child back to Worf. You know, and he says something like, we would never hide behind a child or something. They also build weapons out of their boots and their belt buckles and all this really cool stuff, and the Klingon death yell. This episode is often overlooked because it's in Season 1 of TNG, but it is definitely a jewel and definitely
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. The death yell thing was just great. And this paved the way for all of the, you know, the exploration of duality that Worf is going to be going through for the rest of the series, leading into his whole arc that would eventually go into where we're about to talk about in a few minutes here. But it's pivotal.
Yes.
It's absolutely one of the top Season 1 episodes and a building block of Klingon culture.
Yeah, so remind me, was Tal'Shi still a security officer at that episode, or was she already passed away?
No,
she was. Okay.
Worf really, really didn't do much in the first season because of Tasha Yar. This was like, if I remember my TNG Season 1 correctly, I think this was like the only Worf-centric episode of Season 1. I might be wrong, but
it's the most memorable one for sure.
Right. And after Tasha Yar died, Worf got a lot of stuff to do, but this episode was the springboard for everything that we're about to talk about. Was when they wrote this one, they said, hey, maybe we got something here, let's run with it, and they did. And the last episode that I wanted to mention that I think should have been on this list was from Star Trek Enterprise. It's an episode called Judgment, which has J.G. Hertzler in it as a lawyer who's defending Archer against Duras. Yes, there's that name. Because he's accused of being a terrorist, and it deals with Klingon honor, and they're on Rurapenthe, and it brings up a lot of really good arguments, and we get to see the caste system and how it works in the Klingon Empire. So Judgment, I think, is a really, really good episode. And all of that is precursor to what Screen Rant has as number one, which I agree with, and here's the preface that I want to make that we've all been alluding to. The reason why excellent episodes like Sins of the Father are not there, episodes like The Emissary, one of the best episodes, Reunion with K'Lar. There's a whole bunch of, there's eight altogether episodes that aren't listed in the top 10, and I didn't put them in for the simple reason that TNG, I think, is often overlooked for the simple fact that TNG did this story arc serial storytelling before anyone even knew it existed. And they did it with Worf. All these episodes that I mentioned were introduced to Tasha Yar in Redemption. Okay, we're introduced to the Duras sisters. We're introduced to Kim Peck, you know, Gowron. We're introduced to K'Lar, and, you know, we're also introduced to Kern. TNG had dropped all of these episodes on us with their, most of them were B-plots of other episodes that were weaving the thread of Worf's backstory. And when all of these dominoes were on the table, boom, they hit us with this episode, which is on the number one list, called, you want to take it away, Paul? I know you're chomping at the bit. What is the number one episode that all these other episodes led up to?
Everything was building to this. This is the Mount Everest of all Klingon episodes. We're talking about Redemption, where Redemption is an episode that fires on all cylinders and delivers a story that examines what Klingons stand for on both a personal and a galactic level. Not only features one of Next Gen's best cliffhangers ever, but it also makes time for non-Klingon characters like Data's struggle with prejudice when he takes over command of the Sutherland. Really cool subplot there with some great casting. You know, the core of this episode, though, with Redemption is lying in how it examines Worf's identity crisis that's been building through his whole arc of discommendation throughout the entire series, culminating in this satisfying statement of purpose that demonstrates his growth. It is a rock-solid episode, and you've got all of those building blocks that come together that Jim just mentioned. I don't think enough can be said about Kern. I'm a huge fan of Kern. We met him back in Sins of the Father, that episode what we talked about a little bit earlier as being the start of the whole discommendation thing. Kern's a great character. If ship, I would kill you for suggesting it. He's just such a great character. But it leads to all this stuff. And, you know, it's just, if you look at the arc of all these episodes that Jim was talking about, right, culminating here, look at the Duras sisters, the way they are with their scheming plots. Gowron is the embattled leader and his avarice and his ambitions. The brother of Worf, the sisters trying to put somebody else in power with Duras. What's great about this huge Klingon arc of all of these episodes, and you've got to mention Emissary and Reunion as well, because they're satellites to that, because those are pivotal in terms of like what happens to Worf's character and defining Klingon duality. It really is positioning Klingons as being like a Shakespearean story. This is like as much of a Shakespearean saga as like Richard III, Henry V, King Lear, all of those epic struggles, those epic tragedies. That's what they were going for with these episodes. And that's where the writing was trying to put it together there and truly portray the different noble houses of Klingon culture as being engaged in the struggle that is like Shakespearean. That is just fantastic. It's just, we've talked a lot about like, what would you like to see is like a great, you know, new Star Trek series, right? You know, we have all these new things coming all the time. And to me, that's what I would like to see, right? I would like to see them go back to that kind of perspective on Klingon culture, where it is looking at it as like kind of a warring Shakespearean houses type of situation, right? And more dramatic impetus, more stuff in terms of conspiracy and plots. And give me like a Game of Thrones modern depiction of Klingon culture on the homeworld and a lot of those kind of struggles with really good new characters. That's a story I would totally buy into, but it's built on the fundamental foundation of Redemption and all these other episodes that Jim has talked about. The absolute best of all of it, for my money, is this work done on Next Gen.
And that's why a lot of people are sitting there thinking, why wasn't this episode? Why not that episode? Because Redemption wraps all of those. All the points that Paul talked about are all addressed in Redemption. And we get Sela. We get Tasha Yar's daughter back again. I mean, this episode had it all. Everything was going on in this episode. It is the ultimate Klingon episode. So that was the Screen Rant list, and I think we agreed with most of it. And there's so many great... We didn't mention Blood Oath from Deep Space Nine. That's another absolutely, you know, top-notch episode.
And Jim, I got to just throw out here, buddy, real quick. You know who wrote Redemption?
Not off
your
the top
buddy
of my
from
head.
For All Mankind, Ronald D. Moore. That's who.
Oh well, there you have it.
Yeah, you got your For All Mankind DNA. And that's why you know it's so good, because it's this is the guy who did the Galactica thing, and I mean he worked on it. I think with Joe Manosky co-wrote it as well, but it's Ronald D. Moore's script, man, and it just really comes across. It is a story about Civil War. Right. And you got to decide where your loyalties lie. And it's just it's that kind of really strong writing that, you know, that's why you're loving so hard right now on For All Mankind, because it's just like he's the man. He's got the perspective and he writes and everyone's got something at stake. So brilliantly done.
Yes. Redemption is. And I'm sure everybody knows that Redemption is on Blu-ray available as a full length movie. You don't have to put in part one and part two. They've edited it together into one seamless movie, so you can sit there and watch Redemption. So there you have it.
If you want a Shakespeare theme in there, don't forget the episode with Kalis.
Yeah. There are so many
Shakespearean.
There's so many good ones. It's really, and I said at the top of the show, it's totally subjective, but I do agree with their number one episode. So there you have it. There's the Klingon episodes, guys. And now it's time for our birthdays.
That was not a Klingon song.
Okay, every week we do our Star Trek birthdays, and we start off with the members of our Star Trek family who, sadly enough, are no longer with us. And for that, we turn to Eric.
Yeah, Jim, this week we start out our remembrances with a relatively recent one. Lost just in 2022 was the actress Kirstie Alley. She was the actress and spokesmodel from Wichita, Kansas, who made her feature film debut playing Sevik in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. For her performance in this film, Alley was nominated for a Saturn Award by the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films. She was actually offered the chance to reprise the role in Star Trek III, but there were some negotiations over salary that sort of went south, and so we ended up getting Robin Curtis as Sevik in Star Trek III, which I'm personally happy about. She was a great actress as well. Alley is perhaps best known for her Emmy Award-winning role as Rebecca Howe on the long-running NBC comedy television series Cheers, where she played that role for six seasons. She's also known for being on Veronica Chase in the NBC comedy series Veronica's Closet. So happy birthday and lots of love and remembrances going out to Kirstie Alley. Happy birthday as well to Barry Francis Jenner, the actor who played Admiral William Ross in DS9's sixth and seventh season. He also voiced Admiral Ross on the video game Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Dominion Wars. Jenner made a living in performing on television. He began with a regular role as Tony Cooper on the daytime soap opera Somerset back in 1974, and then had recurring roles on Knot's Landing and Dallas back in the day. I know you've heard of both of those. His recurring role as Police Lieutenant Lou Martog in the sitcom Family Matters is classic, and he was also a frequent and regular guest on the 1980s edition of the game show Pyramid. I used to watch that all the time. Now, Admiral Ross, I know you guys are going to ask me, what about him? Was he a good or a bad admiral? I'm just going to say that Admiral Ross, for me, is the guy who is right at the top of the list of admirals. He was an excellent battle commander. He was also shown doing the right thing every single time. He's like the admiral who was a little motivated by fear, because we had the whole Dominion War going on and changelings infiltrating everything left and right. But you know, when they went to invade Cardassia, who was leading the way? He was right there. He was on the ship. He wasn't, like, sitting back telling people what to do. So I think Admiral Ross was awesome. And Barry Francis Jenner did a fantastic job with that role. And you know what, guys? The entire time that he was an actor, he was also a reserve LAPD police officer more than 20 years. So I just think that's such a cool combination of things. So happy birthday to Barry Jenner. Happy birthday as well to Torrin Herbert Erskine Thatcher. That's right, the actor who played Marplan on the TOS first season episode, The Return of the Archons. Torrin's film career started in 1933 and his television career in 1949, often playing villains along the way. I think that that was maybe a little, he had this look that people associated with villains for some reason. His film career was largely over by the 60s, but he continued to work sporadically in both film and television until the middle 70s. So happy birthday to Torrin Herbert Erskine Thatcher. Happy birthday as well to Joanne Linville. Joanne Linville, we lost just back in 2021 at the ripe old age of 93 years old. She was the actress who played our female Romulan commander. That's right. That's the one. People have named her Liviana sort of afterwards, but she didn't have a name back in the third season episode of the Enterprise incident in the TOS days. But she was the first actress to play a female Romulan in the Star Trek franchise. And for the sixth season episode, Face of the Enemy, writer Naren Shankar suggested that Linville reprise her role as the Romulan commander, but unfortunately she was unavailable, so we just got her the one time. I would have loved to have seen her again. That would have been so cool. She had a career that began in the 50s, and she worked steadily throughout the 60s and 70s, appearing in both television and movies along the way, and I just think that role for her was really super classic, and I every time I watch The Enterprise Incident, I'm enthralled with her portrayal. So happy birthday to Joanne Linville.
You know about her daughter, right?
I think I do. She actually went on to portray that same role in the Star Trek Continues stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. She basically played the Romulan commander, the same character, and then like her mom coached her to kind of, give her some tips and stuff like that about how
which
to do
I think
it,
is
yeah.
so cool. Amy
very,
Rydell,
very cool.
I think was her name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amy
yeah,
Rydell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So continuing that legacy in Star Trek Continues, if you haven't seen that series, it's a fan thing. It's so cool, and I think a lot of people really love it. So, yeah, thanks, Paul. Peter Bracco would have had a birthday this week. We unfortunately lost him all the way back in 1992. He was the character actor who played Claymare in the TOS first season episode, Errand of Mercy, which is, I would say, probably the best Romulan episode. Can I go that far? It's so good. Peter Bracco's career spanned six decades from 1932 to 1991, resulting in parts in over 200 movies and television episodes. Yeah, that's right. Peter Bracco, super prolific. He was actually a theology student back in the day, but then sort of converted to acting, appearing in films as early as 1932. And you should look him up. He was a specialist in sci-fi. We're talking Outer Limits, Time Tunnel, The Invaders, Lost in Space, The Twilight Zone. And in movies, Spartacus, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Our Man Flint. Are you kidding me? Blockbuster after blockbuster, good stuff. Also, this guy was blacklisted back in the McCarthy days because he, McCarthy. McCarthyism, we all know what that was all about. Peter Bracco, I would have loved to have met you, man. That would have been super cool. But unfortunately, we lost you back in 1992 at the ripe old age of 89 years old. Happy birthday, January 16th. Also, January 16th was born Harry Bosch. Harry Bosch, we lost you back in 2020 at the age of 94 years old. He's the New Jersey-born actor who played Dr. Brown. That's right, Doc Brown, our very first doc in the TOS first season episode, What Are Little Girls Made Of? Excuse me. He had a 30-year career under his belt, lots of 60s television, lots of 70s television. Lots of 80s television, actually. He made a television movie about World War III back in 1982 that was absolutely terrifying. And we lost him just only 4 years ago at 94 years old, if you can believe that. So, Paul, did you have anything else to say about Harry Bosch?
No, I think you covered it pretty good, man. I really do. One of those faces that you just know. He just did a ton of work, and great character actor. So very cool.
Happy birthday, Harry. Happy birthday as well to Michael Pataki. He was the actor who played Korax. We were just talking about him earlier in the TOS second season episode, The Trouble with Tribbles. He also played Karnas, not a Klingon, in the TNG first season episode, Too Short a Season. A 1960s actor back in the day who appeared in all the things like The Twilight Zones and The Mission Impossibles and the things that you've heard of before. Also appeared in that 1975 movie, sexploitation film, can I say that? Carnal Madness, which if you're into that thing, it's not a bad movie. 2 years later, he was known for playing one of his more well-known roles as Captain Barbera in the 1977 TV movie of The Amazing Spider-Man, also known as Count Malachi in the three-part episode of the sitcom Happy Days in 1976. There's a bunch of other stuff on this man's resume. You should check it out. Michael Pataki would have had a birthday also January 16th, just 2 days ago. Happy birthday, Michael. Happy birthday as well. Last but not least, to Nancy Ann Parsons. She was the actress who portrayed Marouk in the Next Generation third season episode, The Vengeance Factor. Parsons was best known for her memorable role as Coach Balua Ballbreaker in all three installments of Porky's. Yeah, you know those movies. Parsons also filled character roles in the movies Sudden Impact, Steel Magnolias, Ladybugs, a couple others along the way. Among her minor film roles, she was cast as a nurse 5 times. That's kind of weird. Is that typecasting? I'm not sure. She also guest starred on many television programs of the 1970s and 80s. Her credits include things like L.A. Law and Night Court and Moonlighting, which was a show that I just love for some reason. Remington Steele, The Rockford Files, you know, all the ones. So Nancy Ann Parsons, a face you would know, lost all the way back in 2001, which you guys was 23 years ago, hard to believe, at a very young age of 58 years old. And that, you guys, does it for our Remembrances Week. So I'm going to pass the flaming birthday candle over to my good friend, Charles.
All right. Thank you, Eric. I'm going to try speeding this one up a little so we get through all these birthdays. Okay. Happy birthday to Rachel Harris, the actress and comedian who played Martis in Star Trek Voyager, before and after. Happy birthday to Sam Richardson, actor of voice Vendome in Star Trek's Lower Decks first season episode, Temple Edict, and the third season episode, The Star at Night. Happy birthday, Alex Dahl, Spanish actor and former ballet dancer who played the synth unit F8 in Star Trek Picard's first season episode, Maps and Legends, and the synth unit Harvey, and 335 in second season episode, The Stargazer and Tenants. Happy birthday to Jandy Swenson, actress who played Katie in Star Trek Next Generation first season episode, When the Bow Breaks. And the favorite one on my list, a very big happy birthday to Una McCormick, author of several Star Trek novels and stories. And one of our previous guests on Trek Talking on a Saturday, a rare Saturday episode.
I think we can say friend of the show. Friend of the show, yeah.
Friend of the show. But she is a hoot, and she is just a fabulous person to talk to, and she does some great work in her stories. So, passing on to Paul, who's on your birthday list.
Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it, man. First of all, I got to give a big happy birthday to our good pal, actor Charlie Brill, who played Arn Darvin in the original series classic second season episode, The Trouble with Tribbles, reprising that role again years later in the fifth season episode of Deep Space Nine, Trials and Tribulations, the sequel, if you will. What is it about Arn Darvin that sort of is a good fit for tonight's theme of our episode, friends? Because he's actually a Klingon. Yes, he was a spy, right? It's like he's all in there with Nils Baris, and he's like finding out that your main lieutenant's actually working for the other guy. So it would be like, Joe McCarthy finding out that his secretary worked for, Vladimir Lenin.
Or Ash Tyler in Discovery being outed as a Klingon suddenly.
Exactly. But a very fun performer who definitely was – I always love it when they're able to find somebody who did one of these portrayals and bring him back, a couple decades later to still do the role. It's very, very cool, as we saw with our Ms. Dennehy last week, right, who we've had coming back to do more work. So it's really cool when we see that done. So happy birthday, Charlie Brill. Happy birthday goes out to Martin Goslins, who played Satok in the Next Gen 7th season episode Gambit Part 2. Other episodes include being stuck at home forever is killing me. Other birthdays include Sean Ahmed, who played Ensign Shankar in Strange New Worlds first season episodes Lift Us Where Suffering Cannot Reach and The Serene Squall. Happy birthday to the great voice actress and comedian, as well as Tony Award-winning stage actress and Emmy Award winner, Andrea Martin, who also writes a ton, but originated the role of Ishka in the Deep Space Nine third season episode Family Business. Andrea Martin, you're on your way to an EGOT there if you keep going. You've already got the Tony and the Emmy. So keep on working, friend, and maybe some more Star Trek will help you get that. So very, very cool.
Moogie.
And finally for me, it's Maulik Pancholi, who played the USS Shenzhou's chief medical officer, Nambue, in the Star Trek Discovery pilot episode, The Vulcan Hello. And that's it for my birthday quadrant this particular week, and we'll pass that over to Uncle Jim.
Well, believe it or not, we're almost done. I've only got three for you, but the first one is a doozy from one of my favorite movies. I think one of the best Star Trek movies, which should have been on the top Klingon list, but we'll get that. We'll forget about that. We want to say happy birthday to Cynthia Blaise. She appeared in Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, as young Amanda Grayson giving birth to Spock in a cave. So happy birthday to Cynthia. I threw that in just for me. We also want to say happy birthday to Issa Briones, an English-American actress who portrayed Soji Asha in the first and second seasons of Star Trek Picard. Her father was also in season two, married to Seven of Nine as the president of the Earth Empire. I forgot what they were called, but happy birthday to Issa Briones.
UAE.
And the last
United,
summer,
or UEA, yeah. Or you, what, United Earth Empire, yeah.
We want to say happy birthday to Jeff Yeager, who played Aiden in Star Trek Voyager 7th season episode, Flesh and Blood. No relation to me whatsoever, but a really cool name, so I had to throw him in there. So that wraps up our birthdays, guys. We're all done, and now it's time for some Star Trek news.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Incoming transmission.
Enter authorization code. Command codes verified. Define parameters of program. Level 9 authorization required.
Specify parameters.
Transfer of data is complete.
Black alert. Black alert.
All right, Eric, you want to get us started this week with our Star Trek news?
Do I ever. This is our favorite segment. Jim Shatner says, what? And this one is pretty good. William Shatner doesn't expect to return to Star Trek and accuses Paramount of erasing his Kirk. When asked if he would play James T. Kirk again, he indicated he didn't expect that to happen. As a proof, he used a screenshot of the Star Trek collection page on Paramount Plus, which features images of characters from the various shows, but not his James T. Kirk. for the Star Trek, the original series, there's an image of Leonard Nimoy Spock instead. He said, quote, all you have to do is look at the Paramount Plus graphics to answer that question, Shatner continued. It's not the first time. It's been going on for years. It makes no difference to me that a group who think they are enlightened or whatever they think they are obviously feels threatened by the Kirk character. It's a character from a 1960s TV show. Get over it. Shatner is aware that the character of Kirk is part of the Paramount Plus series Star Trek Strange New Worlds. He even appeared on stage with actor Paul Wesley at last summer's Star Trek convention in Las Vegas. So he does seem to think there is something specific about his version of Kirk that is the issue. Quote, it doesn't bother me in the least. A bunch of self-righteous strangers think they are sending a message by erasing the past. Who's going to forget? It's everywhere. It's so indoctrinated that it will take many generations to be forgotten, no matter what they do. Let it be. So there you have it. Mr. Shatner feels like he is being erased by recent marketing materials from Paramount Plus. And I am curious to hear what you guys think about that, because what he said is true. His face is not there. And his face, I think, was probably the face of the franchise back in the day. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I wasn't around in the 60s and early
70s. Yeah, some of us were.
I don't really know. Yeah, like I'm assuming it was all about Kirk, but I do feel like these days it's all about Spock. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important to acknowledge that it's a little deja vu-y, because that was an uncanny line reading there, Eric. I was like, Mr. Shatner was in the room with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. You know, it's just like this, it's kind of ironic, because he is with this interview, he is demonstrating the problem. Okay. He's a difficult individual, and he does not play nicely with others. Right. I mean, you could take the opportunity to make an interview like this and do something really, really positive, but he's kind of comes across as being a really complainy, negative guy. And he keeps these chips on his shoulders time and time again. You got to kind of play the PR game a little bit, at least the image game a little bit, but he's not really super beloved. I mean, he's a luminary and a legend, and I just wish he would pay a little bit more attention to how he comes across, right? He does, you know, it's like he came across very authentic when he did the whole space flight thing, right? And he was clearly an emotional guy who did something real, and it was really, really cool. But he gets so mired down, and, you know, this is the kind of stuff that your agent should be advising you not to do. Right, is be like, don't talk like this, and don't go out there and say another negative thing that makes you look bad. Work on a little damage control, and it's never too late to correct your image.
So, but Paul, would it be too much to say that there is a disparity between the leadership qualities that we see in Kirk and the sort of leadership qualities that we see in Shatner? And I don't want to get too like deep and philosophical and into the weeds here, but I'm just saying, like, when we see Kirk portrayed on the screen, the man knows how to lead a ship and he knows how to get stuff done. And I think that, you know, aside from some of the maybe tropes involved, nobody would argue on that front. But
a good leader.
Yeah, good leader, but. Yeah. But time and time again, it feels like Shatner fails to deliver on that, where he is this luminary. He could be the guy, but his own emotions and his own sort of chip on his shoulder, like you said, get in the way.
Yeah. You know, it's a cliche, but it's often true. I like William Shatner. Please don't misunderstand me. Okay. I'm a big fan. I feel like he was, you know, an absolute hero to me growing up with his depiction of, you know, conveying what Kirk was like, right? Absolutely hero. When I needed a positive role model of what, heroic, you know, a person could be, I mean, I absolutely looked up to him tremendously. But, you know, in terms of, like, talking about himself and his coworkers and the business, he's his own worst enemy. Right. And it's just like, you know, you compare him to like the Kirk character. Right. Well, you know, Captain Kirk didn't have like an ongoing 30-year feud with like McCoy, right?
Right. So,
like, you know, or Scotty saying, oh, I know he's done some great things for the Federation, but he's a wee jerk, isn't he? I mean, you know, I mean, that didn't go on. Everybody always likes Captain Kirk who's worked with him, right? But people who work with William Shatner don't always like him, right? I mean, George Takei being, you know, who I'm talking about, right? I mean, he's been eye-rolling, you know, very transparently about, you know, Shatner's antics, and you know, he'd be the first one to say, you know, it's like, Bill, you could completely change your image if you would just stop talking. But well, he doesn't do it, you know. He doesn't do it. He just feels he has to talk. He has to, you know, put his, and he puts his foot in it every time. So it's just, if he would just take some you know, lessons in, like, you know, discretion. In terms of, not every interview is a chance to be, but he comes across very negatively, and he has no one to blame but himself. And I really love the guy. I wish he would course correct. And we were on here talking a couple weeks ago about like an idea he pitched for a, you know, another kind of like Emira Kirk reappearance. Where was it? Enterprise, Eric? You know, was,
yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Great idea, right? And you can't help but wonder. It's just like, well, if you were maybe a little easier to work with, maybe that would have gotten made, right? He just seems like a difficult person. And, I, you know, it's just like they don't keep passing by you because you're busy, right? You know, it's just like you've had a lot of times, but they haven't put him – it's been generations that the guy's been in anything.
Well, I want
to think that
– Eric said the comment, well, the show was – the big character in TOS was Spot, was Kirk. Actually, if you read the I Am Spock, Kirk wasn't the one that got the ton of mail coming in. Spock was the one getting the big chunk of fan mail. I think Spock is a central character in that show. And as we say, it's Kirk can sometimes be a difficult person to work with.
So, is this a case where Discovery told us that this was the first time that the focus wouldn't be on the captain, but in fact, in TOS, the focus was never on the captain, it was on Spock? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying is the focus was on Kirk, the fans had a bigger interest in Spock.
Ah, very nice. Yeah, so
the fans were interested in the Spock character.
Yep.
They were interested in the alien character, not the captain.
The complex character, not the guy that they saw every day on the street, right? But the
right.
guy who had like things going on that they didn't totally understand.
Yeah, and I think
the
that's an excellent point that Charles
makes. We want to know more about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, historically too, it's just like we, in the fan community, I think the characters that are the most enduring, the ones that resonate and that really people are really gravitate to, okay, I'm not thinking of Spock, Worf, Data, Duality, okay? They are the characters who are at war with themselves, right? Who, you know, are half human or are trying to become human. Right. I think in those cases, right? I mean, exactly. Not that Bolanos is popular as those other three, but you know what I'm saying, right? But Kirk is basically the lantern jawed hero. I mean, you can only get so much mileage out of that, right? But the kind of people I think that get drawn to becoming, you know, lifelong Star Trek fans are having struggles very often and understand that duality is a thing, right? So I think that helps explain it. But yeah, I think that's why Spock is pictured. Charles makes a great point because it's the fans that connect with that. I mean, he is certainly the most popular character, as much as everyone loves Anson Mount. On Strange New Worlds, Spock's the most popular character, guaranteed.
So is it petty for Mr. Shatner to be worrying about his face not being represented on the thing?
It makes
well,
you look
just,
desperate. It makes
I
you look
add
desperate. It's not good.
The poster he's talking about has two TOS characters on it, Spock and Uhura. Uhura was probably the minorest of the characters. She had the least to do on the show. However,
it's marketing, man. It's marketing.
But
you can't have another white guy these days.
They want diversity.
You got to you gotta mix it up. She's very popular.
But Uhura had, culturally speaking, was the biggest character ever, culturally speaking.
Yeah.
You know, she deserves to be on those posters because she
Nichelle Nichols in particular. Yeah.
Nichols opened the door for everybody, for Whoopi Goldberg, for everything. Was even though she only said Hailing Frequencies open and whatnot, she, in my opinion, was the most culturally important character ever on Star Trek. And Kirk is just another white guy in a sea of white guys.
No, but so to me, this is a timing thing, right? Like, I feel like Kirk has enjoyed his limelight, man. Like, Kirk was the very definition of Star Trek for decades and decades and decades. You know, aside from what Charles was saying, you know, with people connecting to Spock and stuff. So, you know, come on, man, you got to evolve with the times. And if you're going to, like what Paul was saying, if this guy's going to keep up with what's going on in modern day life, acknowledge what's going on around you. Acknowledge that it is important that there are people like Uhura being represented on the poster, or Spock, who has, you know, the biracial and also emotional thing going on. I mean, that's important for representation.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, at the end of the day, to wrap it up, man, it's just like, you know, PR 101, any agent or PR person will tell you in Hollywood, right? It's just like, appear gracious. Even if you don't agree, be positive. If you get a negative rep, you start losing jobs, right? You've got to appear gracious. Don't say a bunch of negative stuff. You know, be gracious in an interview. You know, talk about the good things. Otherwise, you look like a crank or a jerk. So, you know, it's simple stuff.
Well, yep. Also, isn't that the reason why Picard TV series, like right after Kirk, was named the Next Generation? Evolving into the new modern stage of, like, what we all just been talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Paul, you want to squeeze in this last story here?
I do. Yeah, I'd love to. I'll try to be quick. I think we have time for one more. And you can file this under "I'll believe it when I see it." But
yeah,
headline is: Andor director jumps ship from Disney to Star Trek. What?
What?
After finding massive success on streaming, thanks to hit Paramount Plus originals like Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard, it looks like, take a deep breath, Paramount Pictures is ready to return to the final frontier. I've never heard that sentence spoken before. This time on the big screen. Whoa, another Star Trek movie? Could it be? Per Deadline, a new Star Trek movie is in the works from... It says Haynes, and it doesn't say who Haynes is. So I think they're talking about the guy who was nice on Andor. I think we're talking about the director of Andor. I want to say it's Toby Haynes, if I'm not mistaken. I will just really quick, because Tony Gilroy
also
is the main guy.
That's correct. Also of Doctor Who fame. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't really say here. It just says Haynes. So I think we maybe have a slightly... thing here. Anyhow, with the Beetlejuice 2 scribe coming up this next year, Seth Graham Smith is penning the script and J.J. Abrams' company Bad Robot producing. All right, so there we go. Now, of course, plot details are being kept under wraps, but according to sources close to the production, the project is an origin story that takes place decades before the 2009 Star Trek film that introduced Kirk, Chris Pine's Captain Kirk, Zachary Quinto's Spock, and Zoe Saldana's Lieutenant Nyota Uhura through the mix. An origin story. It's reassuring to see the studio handing over the reins to another creative familiar with dealing with major intellectual properties. Haynes was the principal director on the Rogue One and prequel series Andor, which is up for an impressive 8 Emmys, including Best Drama Series. Of course, the Emmys have already taken place, so we're reading the story from the past. Oh, just, you know... Maybe we switch that up.
We wish you would have won, Andor.
Yeah, we wish you would have won or edited the story. With an impressive resume under his belt, Haynes is a solid pick for the upcoming Star Trek entry. After being handed off to numerous creatives over the years, including Quentin Tarantino at one point, Star Trek fans can finally breathe a collective sigh of relief, not if I can help it, now that Star Trek IV, if that's what it was going to be called, appears to be back on track. And if you believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'd love to sell you. Because that franchise and the brain trust, quote-unquote, over at Paramount Pictures is just like, it's a mess. I don't know. They just cannot commit. They have been, they have become the dictionary definition of development hell, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just you know,
comical.
I hope it's ridiculous. I hope writers are getting paid. This is not, and again, this is like media, friends, okay? This is not the time to announce your movie. It is really ham-fisted to do it this way, right? It's just like, don't do it. You're contributing to all the nonsense. The time to announce your movie is when you have quietly got everything put together behind the scenes and you're ready to announce that you have a cast, okay? you do it at something like Comic-Con or Star Trek Las Vegas or something like that. But you have a cast specifically, and you're ready to say what the plot is. You're ready to announce the log line, and you're ready to actually unveil things in a professional manner. That's how you do things. And if you don't have it like that, it just ends up contributing to the whole vibe that you basically just don't have your shit together and we should have no faith in you.
Well,
so sorry, Paramount Pictures, this is not how it's done.
Nope.
Well, if they're talking about an origin story to Star Trek 2009, which in and of itself was an origin story.
I know.
Then I'm thinking that it would have to be Captain April on the Enterprise before, because how much further back can you go?
I don't know, man. Muppet babies? I mean,
it calls into question the whole like origin story thing. Like, did the Kelvin universe like stem from the point that the change happened, or did it exist before and it just lined up with what was happening? I don't know. It's very confusing.
That's actually a really interesting origin story there, because that would be like an explanation of how that J.J. Abrams' universe came about.
But it's supposed to be a branching thing. It's not supposed to have its own history. Ah!
Well,
where the snake is eating its tail again,
yes.
Right? It's just
again.
Instead of going, we keep complaining,
you have a
right?
Fucking,
that,
I'm resolution of this, man.
Yeah,
sorry,
and apologies for the way this was put in here, friends. We're talking about Toby Haynes, okay?
Yeah.
Is the person from Andor who's been tapped to direct here? Again, Seth Graham Smith working on the screenplay. So I really am a big Andor fan, right? I thought that show was brilliant.
So
and
good.
Subtle and clever, and Toby Haynes did a great job. I mean, you cannot fault the directing of Andor at all. It's super, super great. So I would love to see somebody smart like this be brought in to do Star Trek. But it's just I don't. It's not that I don't have faith in him and Seth. I don't have faith in the decision making brain pans over there at Paramount, because I just don't think that they have a good thing.
There is one thing I want to say about if Star Trek IV does become a thing. It's going to be a lot different from the other three films.
Well,
the other three films are like dead. I mean, they've got it's like the world has changed. I mean, no one's going to show up to see those movies with those actors anymore, right? It may be Zoe Saldana, you know, but it's just that's all done. They've left. You cannot, if you leave an open bottle of wine on the counter for like 6 months and come back, don't expect that to taste very good. And that's what they've done. There's been so much time since the last Star Trek movie, right? I mean, it's years. Everything is done. It's like now you've got basically, when people say, oh, Star Trek and the Enterprise, people are thinking about Strange New Worlds. They've forgotten about all the J.J. verse movies. I mean, J.J. Abrams hasn't even made a movie in forever. It's like he's still licking his wounds or something. I don't know. But it's crazy. So, yeah, it's like fresh blood. You know, smart people like, you know, Toby Haynes, that's great. Get them in there, but get out of their way, Paramount, okay? You've made some really stupid decisions in the last few years handling different aspects of your franchise, and it's a miracle that things like, you know, Prodigy were able to be saved from the bumbling ineptitude that's going on over there. So hire good people, but get out of their way. And if they have a good script, leave it alone. Right, because we need something good to get back. Right now, it's just like Star Trek doesn't seem like it has a prayer of reclaiming. It's doing okay on Paramount Plus, but it's a different universe in the box office in 2024 post pandemic cinema. You need to have your shit together, and you need to have a strong script, and you need to know what you're doing and be confident. And I'm not getting that yet, so it's just too early, you know.
On that note,
I have opinions. What do you want?
Yep.
You know the business.
We're going to say goodnight. So that wraps up our podcast for the night, guys. And so I want to say thank you to Paul for hanging out and Trek talking with us. Thank you so much, Paul.
My pleasure, man. Sorry for running off at the mouth, but you know, it's always what happens when I'm with you fellas. You're bad influences on me.
No, that's a good influence.
But it's fun. We're all passionate about Star Trek. We want it to do well. We want it to come back. We want it to succeed, right? And we've seen it get screwed so many times through, you know, dudes in suits who have no business getting near science fiction, right? And and just, I don't want to see it happen again. And so I think it's important for us in the fan community to speak out and you know, help, you know, convey the lessons of the past, right?
If it
and,
doesn't excite us, then we need to let them know.
Yeah. And it's just like, right now you've told us nothing. You've given us some rumors about another origin story. And when I hear that, it's just like, oh, great. I'd love to have another old flat beer. Thanks. That sounds wonderful. No, I want something new and exciting that I'm like, oh, my God. Eric, I want to pick up the phone and call Eric. Eric, did you hear this?
Yep.
Oh, my God, you're not going to believe it, right? That's the reaction I need to get, where it's like we basically all of us cannot stop talking in the show chat all day because we're so turned on by the story idea that we heard, but that's not what we got. So
wait a second. What about the Patrick Stewart script that he has in his hands?
I think it's time to be done. I think it's time to be done. I really do. I mean, they went out
Patrick
on a great
Stewart
note with
says
this
that
last season.
He's got a script in his hands for that one last TNG movie to wrap things up. And you
that's
know,
what season
we'll what
three
happens.
Of Picard was. They've wrapped
that's
it
a,
up. Let it go.
We need to talk about it some more, Jim. That's a whole separate show, man.
That's a whole big thing. I think it's just knowing when to leave gracefully when things aren't screwed up is an art.
That's right.
Again, it's being gracious and knowing when you're done, you know. But it's just, I think they ended on such a great note with season three of Picard. I think you'd be like,
call it a day.
Yeah,
like
you're
another
done,
Kiss reunion tour, a farewell tour with Kiss for the, you know, Kiss on their farewell tour, and it just never ends. It just goes on for decades.
It's time you got to recognize when you're done, man, and just
take
just like,
off
yeah,
the makeup.
You know,
home.
All
right,
Spinal Tap, right? I mean, we're talking. It's like Spinal Tap.
Yep. We want to say thank you, of course, to David for hanging out and truck talking with us. David, thank you so much.
Yeah, and hey, Jim, get Paramount Plus to be our guest.
There you go.
We have a couple of things to say to them.
And thank you to Charles for hanging out and truck talking with us. Thank you, Charles.
Well, thank you. And as Paul's comment, when Jim posted this video on truck talking, my comment was, I'll believe it when I see a preview of the movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
When somebody's called and said, okay, that's a wrap, it's like then you know maybe you're safe, right? But
now I want a wrap.
Not a chicken wrap, David.
You're going to have to get someone who delivers that. Triple wrap.
Triple wrap.
Delicious.
And, of course, we got to say thank you so much to Eric for hanging out and truck talking with us as well. It's been fun.
Oh, man, I have so much fun with you guys. It is definitely the highlight of every single Thursday, and I'm so excited that all our fans out there love this podcast so much, too, because it lets me know that we actually connect with people, right? It's not just a bunch of old white dorks, like, figuring stuff out. Other people actually want to listen to us.
Well, this is a really good theme this week, right? Because it was a theme – Jim picked a really good theme for us to talk about because it really encouraged – conversation, right? We all got fired up because it's like we love this stuff, right? Who doesn't love the Klingons, right? It's just like you could do one like this on Data, right? You could do one like this on Spock. I mean, it's just McCoy.
Yeah.
It's super fun when there's a uniting theme that everybody wants to talk about because it's like we have all got years of interest vested in it. So really well done. And we've had cool themes, cool guests lately. It's exciting year for Trek Talking, to be sure.
2024 is a good year. We're going to have figures to give away maybe next week, maybe the following week, but I'll let you guys know. And, of course, thank you to Ray for calling from the Bronx as well. And I got to say that I thought it was absolutely awesome. The one episode that Ray said he loved the most that he ran back and rewatched it again was what episode, Eric?
The musical episode.
Subspace Rhapsody, baby.
Yep, he watched it twice. He loved it. I thought that was great, and I thought it was great that he also loved those old science guys, the two episodes that we put at the top of our list as well. So that's really, really cool. And I want to let you guys know our upcoming schedule. So as of right now, on the 23rd, Robin Curtis and Vaj Potenza are going to be with us to talk about Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. This is their reunion tour that was canceled due to technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio last month. Well, it's finally happening. So that's a Tuesday, right?
So it's a Tuesday show, not the regular Thursday
show.
Yep, because that's when Robin Curtis was available, so that's when I had to take it. So
celebrities, what are you going to do?
Yep.
I know. You got to do it. On the 25th, unless we hear any difference, Majel Mania will be on the 25th. We're going to talk about Majel Barrett, her effects on Star Trek, all the characters that she's played. Unless Frank from Ego gets back to me and says, we want to give away some figures on the 25th. If that happens, we'll bump that show up. But as of right now, the 25th will be Majel Mania. And
how
the
exciting.
29th, which is a Monday, will be Book Nook. We're going to talk about Patrick Stewart's Making It So, and we're going to give away a copy of that book to one lucky fan. And then on the 1st, we have Greg Sargent, who played the Andorian Ambassador Thrawn in Star Trek Enterprise Andorian Incident. So that's our upcoming schedule, subject to change based on celebrities' availabilities. But as of right now, that's our schedule. So there you have it. I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, saying to everybody, please be good to each other and stay safe. Star Trek fans are the best fans. Hailing frequencies are closed. Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Live long, prosper.
Night, y'all.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.
Reached the Q continuum. We are unable to get to the phone right now because we are busy living in a plane of existence your feeble mortal minds cannot possibly comprehend. Furthermore, it's pointless to leave a message because we, of course, already knew that you would call, and we simply do not care. Have a nice day.